are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. And welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous, gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the very first time tonight, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I'm delighted to be here as well, and I think we're going to have a great time in open line tonight. Now, I don't know if you're hearing an echo. I'm hearing a tremendous echo. And I have no idea why. No idea whatsoever. But if you're hearing an echo, send an email to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Let me know. I'll see what I can do about it. If it's just me hearing an echo, I'll turn one ear off and and we'll be okay. If you're new to The Kevin Smith Show, you need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter. It's called the K-Files E-Zine, all right? The K-Files E-Zine comes out each and every week, and usually it goes out on Friday evening. Now, sometimes it doesn't go out till Saturday. If we have some sort of breaking news situation that we're working on, we don't send it out till Saturday. But normally it goes out on Friday, so you've got time right now to subscribe if you haven't done so. Just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. You'll see the little button there that says K-Files E-Zine. What do you think about this thing with the missing news reporting about NASA? Have you thought about that? In the news, NASA has reported the final mission for the space shuttle. It's coming up in 2010. And they have reported that they plan to test fly the new rocket system that's going to take us back to the moon. They're going to test fly that, its first flight, in 2009. So what am I talking about, the missing news reporting? Well, where's the news about the spacecraft that's supposed to replace the space shuttle? Think about that. It's not, I don't think it's the one that's taking us to the moon. I really don't. I think it's not. I think what we have is another system that's going to be replacing the shuttle to take astronauts to the space station and bring them back from the space station and so forth. That's a whole different spacecraft. That's not the one going to the moon. Where's the news reporting on that? They're going to retire the shuttle in 2010. What's going to replace it? How are the astronauts going to get there and get back after 2010? Now, I would be a little nervous if I were one of the other countries involved with the International Space Station. And the reason that I would be is because NASA already walked off and left, or flew off and left, a space station. We talked about it the other night. It was called Skylab. And they just went away and left it alone. Never went back. one mission. We'll be back with Open Line Live right after this.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. And we are back. I'm not hearing as much of an echo as I was hearing, but I'm still hearing one, and I hope you are not. It is Open Line Live tonight. That means we will talk with you about whatever is on your mind. And as long as it isn't politics, we don't get into politics. But whatever's on your mind, we'll talk about it. And let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin. Are you hearing an echo?
Nope.
Outstanding. I'll just turn one ear off here, and we'll be in business. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, it says on the website you're talking about what maybe underneath that thing in Mexico that they found. You know, it's kind of funny that that came up for a topic of tonight's Open Line Live, because earlier today I was going through an old predictions book that I found in my late uncle's book cabinet, an old book on prophecies, and that it comes up from the 1980s, written by Joe Fisher and Peter Cummins, and it spoke of Edgar Cayce and some of the predictions he made about ancient knowledge from Atlantis, and where Edgar Cayce mentioned that there were three different places where this knowledge has been hidden, and one of those places was underneath the pyramid in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of them was underneath the Sphinx, one was in the Yucatan, and the other one was hidden in Atlantis itself.
So when they excavate into this tunnel system that's under the pyramid there in Mexico, you think they're going to find information about Atlantis there?
One of the three halls of records, yep. There's three, according to Edgar Cayce, there are three halls of records. There's the one underneath the Sphinx, there's the one in Mexico, and there's the one in the heart of Atlantis itself.
Well, what's supposed to be in the Hall of Records?
Well, documents, documenting history, documenting what life was in ancient Atlantis, and possibly even up to around the ancient Sumerian culture.
So do you think that this Hall of Records will contain information, additional information about the origin of the human species?
Absolutely.
Do you think they'll share it with us?
Nope.
What language is it supposed to be written in?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to read up more on Edgar Cayce, because that's what I was reading on some of the predictions. And
mm-hmm.
I also figured out an unusual, I was looking also at some Nostradamus prophecies, and I was looking at who the third Antichrist will be, and it's quite amazing if you look at the laws of anagrams on who it turns out to be.
Who does it turn out to be?
Well, I'll have to explain it to get my paper out here. Well, you know, it's Mavis, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other two antichrists that he talked about, he named them almost exactly, except with a little bit of playing with the laws of anagram. Well, you take Mavis, okay, you know, you take the M and the A, okay, and you separate it, you put them as separately, like two different words, okay, you take it away from the B-U-S part and leave the B-U-S part alone. Now, you take the A and the M, okay, and you flip them upside down. Now the A is like a typewriter type A. You know what I'm talking? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's a swiggle and a little bump on the bottom of the swiggle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you switch those two around. So you get the G, you get an A, you get an M, and then you get the B U S. Okay. Now we're talking about the laws of anagrams. This is all legal in the laws of anagrams. You take the A and the M, and you flip them upside down. And you get a G, and you get a W, and the B-U-S. And you add a letter to the B-U-S, and H, and you get G-W Bush.
You don't buy that, do you?
Well, it's quite convincing. It does follow the laws of anagrams.
Well, let me tell you, I remember when Richard Nixon was president.
Oh, yeah, they said that about every president I know.
No. they said that, that if you add all the letters up in the name of Henry Kissinger, if you add all of his name up, it equaled 666, and they said that was the guy.
And the same thing goes for Mr. Bill, too.
Yeah, it I have to tell you, Kevin, I don't buy it at all. I don't think that that's the case. I know that there are people who think that, I'll tell you, there are people who think that the president hung the moon, and there are people who think that he's absolutely the worst human ever. That was also true of Bill Clinton.
It was true of him, it was true of other ones, and we've had the same
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to get into politics.
But the thing is that, you know, you could do something, I guess, with just about everyone's name,
yep.
And, you know, George Bush being the Antichrist, I don't buy that.
Well, you know, I wanted to bring it up, you know, because...
Well, it is an interesting word game.
Oh, yeah, it is an interesting... Well, you know, Nostradamus had a very good way with words and anagrams.
Yeah. Nostradamus is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've done some shows about Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm.
And what's very interesting is some of the most often referred to prophecies of Nostradamus were actually not his at all, but were created by the predecessor of the CIA and were turned loose during World War II as psyops. And they did it because they knew Hitler was reading. Well, and so, and those get quoted a lot. I see it on the internet. Those get quoted a bunch, and you know, they're actually not Nostradamus at all. They're OSS.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, what's happening in your part of the world with UFOs right now?
There's been little to no activity. We spotted the one saucer a few weeks ago, and that was it. There's been nothing else.
You know, they're having lots of activity over in the United Kingdom.
Yep, I've been hearing a lot about that, too. I get the paranormal newsletter from Bill Nell. I get the newsletter from Dick Criswell, and I've signed up a couple other newsletters, and they've been talking about that.
Well, yeah, and don't you find it a little bit interesting that they've begun to crank out these debunk stories, you know, that can be used by debunkers, like, you know, their lanterns, Chinese lanterns, and it was just the moon, and so they crank those out, and at the same time, they have said publicly, we're going to let the public see all of our UFO files. Kind of interesting. Looks like there's two groups involved in possessing the information on UFOs over there.
Yeah, it almost seems like they're, they did release their UFO files, but I think they got two groups going at it. You know, they're saying, okay, here's the UFO files. They're saying that, yeah, these things exist, and now they've got these debunking and disinformation campaign going on at the same time. What's their agenda with it?
Yeah, what's the deal? That's kind of, I don't know. Maybe they learned from us. That's kind of how it goes here. Hey, man, thanks for the call.
All right, man, have a good night.
All right. It is Open Line Live, and I've just noticed that we don't have the telephone number up on the screen, so let's get that up there for you. It is 1-623-581-5148, and we'll be glad to talk about whatever is on your mind. Now, the story that we were talking about with the pyramid. This is the big Aztec pyramid down in Mexico, and maybe you know something about this. They, for over 30 years, have known about a system of tunnels underneath that pyramid. Well, now they are going to dig into those tunnels and see what's there. What do you think they're going to find? Kevin in Canada says he thinks it's going to be the Hall of Records, and wouldn't that be interesting? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where you're calling. Oh, that's interesting beyond description. Absolutely interesting. Listen
to that. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Okay. For those of you with multiple brain cells, it is 1-623-581-5148. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, how you doing? This is Colin from New York.
Okay, this is Colin?
Yeah, from New York.
Yeah, Colin, what's on your mind?
I'm just interested to hear maybe your opinion on omens, if you have any experience in your life, like having sort of like mini prophecies and stuff, because Kevin from Iroquois Falls just was alluding to, and stuff that's going down in my life. I've been writing a lot about this stuff, and I'm seeming to want to see things, you know, and so you tend to see things when you don't want to. But I was wondering what your opinion is about those sort of things, like, you know, divining things out of ordinary events in your life, you know.
Well, let me tell you, you've been listening to this show for how long?
It's probably 3 years, I'm going to say.
Okay, so you know I'm not a woo-woo guy, right?
Not at all, no. And temperance is one of the most attractive things about it. Like, you let anybody go on about anything, and you come back with the same evenness about yourself. I like that a lot.
Well, thank you. Now, having established that I am definitely not woo-woo, I have had at least one event, one that really sticks out in my mind, where someone said something to me spontaneously, looked right in my eyes and said something about the future, and it hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Right.
And at the time, I knew it was true, but I could not believe it was true. But the exact thing that person said has come to pass. So do I think it happens? Listen, this person hit the nail right on the head.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, even with people and with things, it's just so weird how you'll be, it's just so weird sometimes. And, you know, it just, to me, it seems that, you know, if my life is just a clock in, clock out, get the mortgage paid kind of life existence, and there's not a lot more to it empirically, you know, if I can't understand that there's some touch of divinity in our every moment, you know, there's got to be some possibility of it. And I think that it talks to us, but, you know, I think that you become perceived as maybe a little loose if you start getting woo-woo like that too publicly. So, you know, it's maybe best stuff for journals and whatnot, and maybe taking it to the realm of, like, fiction and trying to draw truth into that entire aspect or whatever. But, you know, I was just interested because I know that you're not a guy like that, and I tend to be very impetuous and passionate about stuff. And I want to see stuff. And like Francis Bacon said in his Essay of Truth, you know, a man will tend to believe what he wants to believe to be true, you know, and he'll see it to be true just because he wants to believe it, something of that nature.
Have you ever had the situation where there was something you believed, and you believed it with all your mind, heart, soul, body, down to your toenails, and then you discovered after a period of time that just wasn't so?
Yeah, well, yes, I think that that's the case of our nature, that our desires are so tied up in this this realm of not, it's not rational, it's something that has to be felt more than known or understood through language, and we're not good at it. I don't think people are very good at, you know, we don't have high IQs in this aspect of our being, but I think that... you know, there are times, like you said, a guy just the other day looked me in the eye and said something that, like, he didn't even know, he couldn't have known, he didn't know I was having insomnia, but he just said, hey, listen, I'm just trying to tell you so you could get a different view on it so you can get some sleep at night. And it just, like, kind of, it was, like, weird that he picked that adage, you know, at that time, and what was on my mind and all like that. You know, and you know, but I tend to see more deeply into it than maybe is necessary, but... I think that it's helpful as far as opening yourself up to not being like a mean-spirited, short, curt person with people and having that possibility of, you know, hey, listen, it's a small moment. I'm only making you an egg sandwich, for instance, because that's my job as is now. But I can do it with love and, you know, go beyond just tolerance, you know, and actually try and have a sense of community with each other. And I think that the world just gets a little bit of a dose of that, like that sense of, like, for lack of a better term, that divinity in the little small things, you know, the sign of God on every leaf, that kind of thing.
Well, let me ask you this. How comfortable are you personally with being able to just say, I don't know?
I don't, you mean like it doesn't make sense and I can't, you know.
Yeah, something is beyond the scope of what you can know at the moment. Are you comfortable with saying, heck, I don't know?
Yeah, that's why I think I'm in all these moments, because I'm, I've been so shaken, like, in my base, like, or whatever. Like, I just don't know what to believe anymore. So, like, I'm trying to relate to things maybe more deeply than I need to, and maybe I just need to stay focused on the path that I've been on, stay the course, and just, like, hey, you know, you gotta pay the mortgage, you know, you gotta make sure that the kids are taken care of, all the things that all of us kind of wrestle with, you know, and have to do, you know. But
well, let me give you something real quick here. A few years ago, I have little things, little sayings that I say. You've heard me say, whatever is.
Right.
Okay. I have little sayings that I say, and there are many of them.
Right.
And a few years ago, I don't remember which one it was. Oh, I do. I made the statement, people that think you don't matter, don't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and one of our listeners had called into the show, and he said, that sounds like a Kevinism. So let me give you a Kevinism here. Okay, just something to think about. And maybe, you know, I'm not saying this is right. I'm saying this works for me. And most people that try it seem to say that it works for them.
Right.
And that's this. It's okay for me to not know what I have tried to know.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's not okay for me to refuse to know.
Right.
But it is okay for me to not know what I have tried to know. And if I relax and let that be, it's amazing how much
more
I begin to know.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess it's, I got to quiet on down, I think. You know, I think I recognize something, and I want to dive into it, and I want to process it, and I want to be able to, you know, memorize it or whatever and imbue it into myself. And you know, you get you perhaps miss the whole energy of things by just not quieting down and letting things wash over you. Like, you know, I'm telling you, ever since I seen that alien, because I don't know what, or a hologram, it might have been a hologram, good science and everything. Yeah, ever since I've seen some, it's just my life has gotten weird since January. And it was already kind of strange before that. I was already having some stuff happen for a while. But now it's just, it seems like things like, this lady last night you had on, talking about quickening or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with writing, I never purged so much in my life, you know, and I have never read so much in my life, and I'm writing thousands and thousands of words daily. I'm taking so much from each day that I'm just sure that, like, there's something big talking every day to me, every day on every minute. Something big's talking to me, you know, and I can't get away from the feeling. I just can't get away from the feeling, and I have to, like, write an hour I never needed to write, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I just feel all kinds of energy, and also, you know, I'm not an angel, you know. I get short and intolerant with people and impatient and get impatient on the road when somebody would cut me off or somebody's basically rude. You know, I tend to get base quick, but I know that as I'm 41 now, and I don't think you tend to get like this as you get older, but I'm tending to get more patient and realizing that I have to start, like, caring about everything, everybody, all the time. Because, not because it's going to make a difference in their lives necessarily, but at the end of the day, I can feel like, you know, I'm doing it right. You know, I'm getting it right. You know, and maybe that rubs off on people. Maybe that rubs off a little along the way. You know, hopefully, more of it rubs off on me. Hopefully.
Yeah, you know, when somebody cuts us off out on the freeway, and we fly into a rage, you know, they don't care. They don't even know about it.
Right.
They don't care, and it doesn't reverse what just happened.
Right, it's just poisoning yourself. I tell people that all the time, that, like, you know, when you hate, even when you break the guy's arm, all right, yeah, he has the pain of the broken arm and knows why you did it, but he's never going to feel one shred of that hatred, and all you do is poison yourself as long as you hold it. I've learned that lesson a long time ago, but still, it's easy to get pissed or angry. It's easy to get angry with people sometimes, and I still do, you know, and I try not to. I really.
Well, it sounds like that you having this encounter or this where you saw the UFO,
yeah, that
has been really a life-changing event for you.
Yeah, and I couldn't even admit it to myself until the second time I saw the UFO with my girl, and then since then, you know, it's just like, even like the chemtrails. I don't know how much you know about chemtrails, but this is for a long time. When I was younger, the sky was bluer. And I don't care what anybody says. It was. Now when you look out on the horizons of the sky, it fades to this, like, white, this palish blue. And it just wasn't like that when I was a kid. Not all the time. It just wasn't like that.
Yeah, but blue. That, you know, now that may be chemtrails, but it may also be one of the results of all the pollution we're putting
right,
in the air.
Too, yeah, of course. But, you know, the fact that these what they'll call contrails, and there's no science to back it up. I mean, you look into it, there's no science to back it up. I mean, you look at the levels of moisture in the levels of the atmosphere, upper troposphere, or whatever, and the examples of jet fuel. There's only certain types of jet fuel. It's water vapor, and it doesn't stay in the air even under premium circumstances, but for a couple of minutes, and when it plumes out over hours, well, that's just not.
Just doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
Colin, we're into a break, man. I'm going to have to run.
Yeah,
thanks.
I'm so sorry to take so much time. Thanks.
Hey, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. All right, folks, we have to take a break, and we will return right after this.
street. There's no going back for more. Where the top down and the radio up, catch the rain in a paper cup. Heal the wise man, heal the bard. Don't forget your credit card. Make up your own highway code. Life is an open road. When you're finally running out of gas, you could join the Sunday drivers or burn it up in one last smash. Either way, there's no survivors at the end of this open road. Life is an open road.
Welcome back to Kevin Smith Show Open Line Live. We will talk about whatever is on your mind tonight. Just give me a call at 623-581-5148. And, of course, if you're if that's a long-distance call for you, you dial 1 and then 623-581-5148. During the break, the telephone lines were lighting up. I've made it a practice not to answer the telephone during the break. And the reason I don't is because if I answer the telephone, people are expecting someone to say, "Hi, did you want to talk with Kevin?" I don't use a call screener. Never. Well, I started to say I never have. That's not quite true. I did for about 3 or 4 nights. We gave it a try, and I just don't like it. I don't like using a call screener, and I think if you go to the trouble to pick up the telephone and punch those buttons, and you get through, and you're the one that's causing the board to light up, then you deserve to have me push the button and bring you on the air. And you get to make your comments or ask your questions. So whatever it is that's on your mind tonight, we will talk about it. Just give me a call and weave your way through the crowd. You'll get here eventually. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up here in Pacific Northwest again. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Ryan. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
I had a question for you. Had you had a chance to watch a Larry King episode last week?
No. Honestly, Ryan, I know people think it's not true, but it is true. My schedule is so tightly packed that if it doesn't have anything to do with this show, I probably don't have time to do it.
Yeah, well, they had another UFO show about Roswell, and they had a few guests on there. It wasn't the usual, Stanton Freeman, but there was Tom Carey, there was Donald Schmidt, there was a few other Roswell witnesses that Tom Carey stated that he's working real hard to try. He's working real hard to possibly try and get a piece of the wreckage. And it was going great, and the reason why I was planning on watching it was because Dr. Edgar Mitchell was going to be on. And I was fascinated with that because, me personally, I think he's one of the key inside people that if anybody wants to have this closure happen, I think he's going to help out. And then they had this, and I could not believe it, they had the most idiotic skeptic on. You're not going to believe who it was.
Who was it?
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye, the science guy. Yeah. All right.
And he would not let Edgar Mitchell talk. Edgar Mitchell came on, took time out of his day to come on, and he started talking about a meeting. Edgar Mitchell started talking about a meeting that he had with somebody in the Pentagon, and apparently it was somebody in the Navy. He obviously didn't really explain who it was, but I have a feeling personally that it might have had something to do with the UN meeting. But I don't know. I'm just...
Well, let me get this straight now. Bill Nye kept interrupting Edgar Mitchell?
Yeah, it was outrageous the way... Bill Nye was on the show as a skeptic, and he would not let Edgar Mitchell talk. And it got to the point where Edgar Mitchell said, "I do not feel like arguing." And Edgar Mitchell quoted him as saying, "If you just shut your mouth for a while so I can finish talking." He got upset at Bill Nye. And
well,
I don't
he should.
Blame him. I mean,
here's Bill Nye, who probably, I mean, Bill Nye for sure has never been off the planet, probably has never even been to Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And here's Edgar Mitchell, who's been to the moon.
Yeah.
Which one gorgeous. Really knows more about this subject?
I just couldn't believe it, you know. I mean, he was, Bill Nye was, anyway, it was just, I just wanted to see if you thought it was just ridiculous the way that, you know, he's trying to explain that he knows more about it than Mitchell does. But.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that Mitchell's a PhD. He's not a science guy. He's Dr. Edgar Mitchell. His doctorate degree, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe, is from MIT. He's the sixth man and the final man to stand on the moon. And I would think when you compare what he knows about space and what travels in it to what Bill Nye may know, I think that it's very easy to see which one wins that race.
Well, I know up here in Washington, Bill Nye was on a comedy show called Almost Live for a long, long time, and he has his comedy sketch, kind of like Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
And he was a science guy in there, and he was a comedian, and it was kind of like Saturday Night Live. And he just, what does he have to do with this? I don't understand why he was even on the show, but anyway.
He's got a good agent.
I'll see what you thought about that.
Yeah, Bill Nye must have a good agent.
It was, yeah.
Got him booked on a show. Ryan, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
All right. Telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. You know, I've done this so many times that I don't get much reaction anymore, but I used to get a lot of reaction when I would say, "I do not believe in UFOs." But you've heard me say this so many times, except for those of you who are new, I don't believe in UFOs because they don't call upon us to believe. It's not a belief system. They either exist or they don't, and the evidence is overwhelming. And, you know, that they exist. And, you know, I think that debate is over. I don't know why somebody like Bill Nye would, I don't know why he would get out in public with his mouth running like that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Aha, uh-huh. That must have been Bill Nye. Bill, if you're listening, you can call in and explain to us why you feel qualified to run your mouth against Edgar Mitchell, who's actually been there. You've probably seen pictures of the moon. He's been there. Anyway, that's an amazing thing. 1-623-581-5148. Whatever's on your mind. And what's on my mind right now is about this Hall of Records. I had not thought of the Hall of Records as a possible one of the possibilities for these tunnels that are under the pyramid down in Mexico, the Aztec Pyramid. The tunnels have been known about for a little over 30 years. But they sealed them up. As soon as they found them, they sealed them up. I'd like to know why. Nobody's talking about why did they seal it. I think that is a story unto itself. Why do you seal up something that you've just discovered, and you don't revisit that discovery for over 30 years? And the scientist, the archaeologist who discovered it, finally died, and people kind of quit talking about it. Well, a few people still remembered the situation, and apparently now have gotten the go-ahead to open the tunnels. Let's see. It says, little is known about the civilization, talking about the Aztecs, that built the immense city with its ceremonial architecture and geometric temples, and then torched and abandoned it around 700 AD. Archaeologists are now revisiting a cave system that is buried 20 feet beneath the towering Pyramid of the Sun and extends into a tunnel stretching for some 295 feet with a height of 8 feet. And they say that new excavations have already begun this month and could be the key to unlocking information about the sacred rituals of the people that inhabited the city. This place was called by the Aztecs the place where men become gods. But what's pretty interesting about it is, and nobody knows why, suddenly the Aztecs sealed off this temple, burned the city, and left. What's in that tunnel? What's in that cave? What is it that they sealed up? Do we really want to find out? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Dave from Michigan.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good old Bill Nye the Science Guy. That's what I want to call talk to you about, too.
Yeah, tell me about Bill.
Oh, Larry King. Larry King kept telling him to shut up, pretty much. Just, you know, let the guy talk, you know. And he wouldn't even let Larry King talk. Larry was just shaking his head at this guy. They were showing some pictures of... I don't know where the pictures came from. I don't know if they were from Roswell or what. This disc-shaped object was supposed to be on the back of this truck. And the guy just, and Bill Nye says, well, it really doesn't look like anything to me. And Larry King says, it looks like a flying saucer to me, or something in that aspect. But the show was great until he came on. When he came on, it just kind of made it kind of more like a, you know, just... garbage. But yeah.
Well, you know, here's the deal. Larry King probably has to satisfy some producers, some executives that say, well, we've got to give both sides of this story.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are some stories for which there is not both sides. I mean, there's not a case to be made for I don't exist. Here I am. You know?
Yeah.
Do you want to hold on through the break?
No, that's about it. I just wanted to back up what the other guy said there. You know, it was a joke.
All right, man. Dave, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right, folks, we're into a break. We'll be back more with Online Live right after this.
Thank you. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Right, we are back, and it is Open Line Live tonight. That means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind, all right? And I really would like to get some comments. Maybe, you know, some of you that are sort of ancient history buffs and you know something about the Aztecs, maybe you could enlighten us a little bit. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what's the deal with this. Why did these archaeologists... First, why did the Aztecs seal this tunnel off, burn their city, and leave? What's in the tunnel? The archaeologists that found the tunnel, and let me see, I don't really think that, no, it doesn't say who found it, it just, yeah, it does. Mexican, no, this is who is talking to the press, Mexican archaeologist Alejandro Sarabia. It was talking to the press. But here's what Sarabia says. He says that the tunnel was first discovered in the early 1970s, but it was closed soon afterward. And most of the information about it was lost when the archaeologist who found it died. Why was it sealed off? The tunnel was found. First of all, the Aztecs obviously knew it was there. They talked about it being the place where men become gods. So they obviously knew it was there. They sealed it off, burned their city, and left. What do you think is in there? Or I don't know if they burned the city. Somebody burned the city, and then the Aztec disappeared. Now an archaeologist comes along in the early 1970s, and the archaeologist discovers this cave and tunnel under the big pyramid there. It's right in the outskirts of Mexico City. And as soon as he discovers the tunnel, the cave and the tunnel, they closed it. Sealed it. And for all this time, since the early 70s, nobody's done anything about excavating that cave or that tunnel And the question is, why? What is the deal? What's in there that made the Aztec close it? What's in there that made the archaeologist close it as almost as soon as he found it? Don't you find that just a little spooky? I mean, that's another Indiana Jones movie, I think. That would be a good one. Another Indiana Jones movie, The Hall of Records in Mexico. Kevin, who called in our first caller tonight, is the one that mentioned that it may be the Hall of Records. Now, one of the things I thought about was this may be like a vault, a treasure vault. You know, maybe there's gold and jade and things like that, because they had that. They certainly had plenty of gold and plenty of jade. And maybe, that was like a vault under this great pyramid, this huge pyramid that they had. And maybe they didn't burn their city. Maybe invaders burned their city. Maybe whatever it was that caused the city to be burned also prompted or motivated the Aztec to seal up the vault with their valuables, you know, their state treasures in there. Now, wouldn't it be something if they excavate that and discover that it's full of gold and jade and all kinds of other precious stones and things? I mean, that would just be fabulous. That's what I had thought about. But Kevin called in, and he said, well, you know, Edgar Cayce says that there are three halls of records. There are three places with the complete records, you know, of the human race. One of them is under the Sphinx, and we do know that under the Sphinx there is some kind of a cavern, some type of a... there are rooms of some dimension under the Sphinx. We know that for sure. Don't know what's in them, but we know they're there. Then one of the places was in Atlantis itself. Well, we don't know where that is for sure. You know, there, if you have 1,000 different explorers looking for Atlantis, you end up with 1,000 different places where they say, I found Atlantis. Well, maybe. I'm sure somebody out there is right, but which one? And then the third place that Edgar Cayce, according to Kevin, tells us that we could find a Hall of Records would be in the Yucatan. Well, of course, that's Mexico. And this pyramid is, well, I started to say this pyramid is built right where Mexico City is. It's the other way around. Mexico City is built where the pyramid is, because the pyramid predates Mexico City by a lot. But don't you find that a little bit mysterious? Don't you find that just a little bit weird? Now, one of the reasons that I brought up about jade is they had jade. And it's always been a mystery as to where they got it. And I've always thought it was a bit of a mystery that nobody's asking the question, why was jade important to them? Well, predating the Aztec, one of the oldest races in that area were the Olmec, O-L-M-E-C. There's the Toltec, the Olmec, the Incas, the Mayans. Actually, there are a whole bunch of different civilizations that were in that area. But the Olmec, now they're interesting because a lot of the Olmec carvings, we don't have many, but the ones that we have, they have two features that are outstanding. They either look extremely Asian, and by extremely, I mean almost a caricature of Asian features, or black African features. Both of those exist in their carvings. And I've seen a study that was done about the language, the written language of the Olmec. And when they did this study, what they discovered is that the written characters of the Olmec actually look very, very, very much like, in fact, they're identical in some cases, with ancient Chinese. So you have the ancient writings that match ancient Chinese characters. You have their ancient carvings that are very Asian, many of them. And by Asian, and look, please do not write to me and tell me that I'm a racist. You know, my wife is Asian. Let's just don't go there. That's stupid. All right? So, but when you see someone who is Asian, they have Asian features that you recognize as Asian. You look at mine and you say, well, he looks like he could be maybe German. And you're almost right, part of it. I'm Celtic. And I'm also Native American and a few other things. But I have Germanic features. And you're not a racist if you say so. But some of their carvings have this Asian, have these Asian features. And their writing, I'm talking about the Olmec that predated the Aztec. Their writing was very Asian. Their artwork was Asian. And we know that the Chinese were very much into jade. And so were the Aztec and others in that area of the Yucatan. Is there a connection? Could be. Just could be. We'll be back right after this.
That you gave to me. You said that it wouldn't grow for you, but maybe for me. Lately we've been seeing us to eyes. Maybe sometimes, but is it wrong? Is it wrong trying to figure out what our love really means? And help me understand how to be a better man.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back. I let me make a note. I need to remind myself to take that announcement out about the phone number. The phone number, for those of you who would like to call in, it's Open Line Live, and any topic that's on your mind within our genre. Now, you know, some people say, well, I don't know anything about UFOs. I don't want to talk about, what about ghosts? What about, you know, haunted places? What about time slips, strange things happening with time? You know, we had a strange thing that happened with time here. Can't explain it. It happened July the 7th during the night. I have one computer that is powered directly, and then you plug it in. I've got another one that has a battery backup. And the one that is powered directly was off by an hour when I woke up on July the 8th. It was missing an hour. Now, you might say, well, then the power went off. Yeah, but if the power goes off, someone has to push a button on the computer to start it back up. Right? When the power goes off, the computer goes off. When the power comes back on, the computer does not come back on. You have to push the button to start the computer, and I didn't. I was asleep. But when I got up in the morning, the computer was on, and it was playing music. You know, we broadcast 24 hours a day, Steel Eye Media Network. And so it was uninterrupted. And, you know, I just thought of something. I need to go back and look at the logs and see if I can find a time jump in there, find out what time did it jump. It jumped an hour. Well, I thought, okay, well, maybe then there's something wrong with the computer, right? It obviously didn't go off during the night, but there was an hour missing on the computer. And so something's wrong with the computer. It's beginning to malfunction, and that's something I'll have to look at. That's what I thought. Then I got in my car later in the morning. For me, later is like 7 o'clock in the morning, okay? So at somewhere right after 7 in the morning, I got in my car, and I drove to a place where I needed to go, and I passed this recreation center. Out in front of the recreation center, there's one of those signs, you know, where they can program it so that lights come on and the lights form letters and it tells you a message. And then one of the things it does is it gives the time and the temperature. It was off by 1 hour. Maybe you have an explanation for that. As I said, it can't be that the power went off and caused that, because the only way that could be the answer is if I was sleepwalking and got up and turned the computer on, and I didn't. When I sleep, it is... the best I can describe to you is it's like a rock. I sleep for 4 hours a night. Four. I work 20 hours a day. I sleep for four. And when I go to sleep, believe me, I do business with sleep. I go to sleep and I am dead to the world. Absolutely. So I didn't get up, I didn't turn the computer on, and it was still on when I got up in the morning, but there was an hour missing. Yet when I went past the recreation center, which is just a few blocks from here, it was missing an hour on its clock as well. Now, my other computer had the right time. I just don't know the answer to that mystery. That's one of those things that I said to the caller earlier. You know, sometimes you just have to say, I don't know. And just relax with that because that's all we can do with it. So what about time slips? Have you ever experienced that? Missing time? You know, I know that right now we are speaking, I am speaking to people all over this world. And by the way, that brings up something. I've had some people ask me, you know, they look at that video player and it shows 82 people right now. That's not the number of people listening to this show. That's the number of people that are over at Ustream.tv watching our video channel at Ustream. Because what you see on my site is that player at Ustream. We're reading that player, all right? And so my site accounts for one of the 82. And then the several hundred of you that are at my site, or maybe thousands of you at my site that are watching, you still account for one. All of you together account for one over at Ustream.tv. So that's what that number is. Okay, and then we've got folks listening by means of radio. We've got people on AM, FM are listening. We've got people listening on affiliate internet radio stations, and we've got people listening on shortwave and even on cell phones. But as I speak to people right now, as I'm speaking to you, I know that I'm talking to people all around this planet. And some of you have experienced time loss. And I'm not talking about where you go out on Saturday night, Friday night, or Saturday night, drink yourself blind drunk, sleep through the next day, and then next time you wake up, it's Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you left work. It should take you 45 minutes to get home. You don't remember going anywhere except straight from work to home, and yet there were 4 hours gone. Some of you have had that happen, or something similar. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, I had that happen. I think I've told the story on the show. It's when I was a kid. I couldn't have been more than maybe, I don't know. Truthfully, I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, but I know I was not more than 10. But I think I was 7 or 8 years old. And my parents took my sister and I roller skating, and we loved that. I was a speed demon on roller skates. I really was. But I love to roller skate. So they took us, and I don't know if it was a Friday night or a Saturday night, but I assume that it was Saturday night. We lived maybe 20 minutes away from the skating rink. Those of you in the Dallas area will know when I talk about Lancaster, Texas. We lived in the far south side of Dallas. As a matter of fact, our subdivision was it. You went further south than that, you were out of Dallas. Okay? Now that's not the case, but it was then. And so it was about a 20-minute drive. We left the skating rink. It could not have been later than 10:30 at night. Headed home, we saw a UFO pass over us. And then we headed home, and that 20-minute drive, we left at 10:30. It was midnight when we got home.
caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
That's Dave again from Michigan.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, that's funny you should bring that up.
Have you had that happen?
Yes, I have. 2005, I had that happen. Friday night after work, loaded up my truck and my dog and was heading up to my cabin, which is about 184 miles north of where I live. Stopped at the ATM at 7:04 at night, and the drive up there is about an hour and 50 minutes maybe, you know, maybe a little longer. And pulled in, it was 12:17, midnight, 12:17.
It should have taken you how long to get home?
An hour, at least about an hour, less than 2 hours, just less than 2 hours, an hour, 45 minutes to maybe 2 hours.
So 8:45, 9 o'clock, you should have been home.
I should have been up to my cabin, that's right, and it was 12:17. And I've rolled this around for years thinking, it was 2005, you know, thinking about this and thinking about that, and I got two slips, actually, because after I stopped the ATM, I stopped at Wendy's and got dinner to eat and drink on my way up. So I got two slips that were within the 10 minutes time frame, and I ended up there at 12:17, and I've been up there probably 800 times in my life, you know. And where it went, I have no idea. There was nothing spectacular happened. I didn't see anything, nothing like that. It was just listening to the radio and driving, and it was that long, and I have no idea what happened. I have no idea.
Now, when you pulled up in front of your cabin, or however it's arranged, beside your cabin or whatever it is, when you got there?
Pitch black.
All right, but did you suddenly feel like, hey, it's been a long time? Or did it surprise
exactly.
you when you looked at your watch?
Exactly. I just remember pulling in and, oh my God, I'm here, you know, and it's, you look at the clock and it's 12:17 in the morning. And I'm thinking, what time did I leave? And I thought about it, and it bothered me all night long. All night long it bothered me. My dog was really restless all night. I don't know why. Don't know why, and it wasn't until the next day I looked at those slips, you know, and then the next day after that, I'm cleaning out my truck, you know, throwing stuff away, and here's the Wendy's bag, the slips in there. It was about 10 minutes later that I got that.
Do you remember going to Wendy's?
Yeah, I remember that. I mm-hmm. remember all that. Yep, sure do.
And do you remember the drive?
I got an I-75 heading north. I left just south of Flint. And I got off at Birch Run exit to get something to eat, and that was it. I don't remember nothing else from there.
So after you got something to eat, you don't remember the trip at all?
I don't remember nothing. I just remember pulling in, and it was like, okay, I'm here, you know. Pitch dark, you know, beautiful night, warm, 12:17.
Well, you know, it was kind of strange. Our situation when we left the skating rink, we remember. Now, my dad's gone now, but both my sister and my mom both remember this incident, and both of them have talked to me about it fairly recently. We remember everything that I described. And I remember my dad telling us this thing went over us and just lit up the parking lot. I remember him telling us to get in the car, and we were very excited about, you know, what was that? What was that? You know how little kids are. And he said, I don't know. I'll find out tomorrow. And we remember up to there, and we remember starting to drive out of the parking lot, and then we remember pulling up into the driveway. We don't remember the trip home, but when we got in at the house, pulled up into the driveway, started to get out of the car, my mom looked at the clock. My dad's name was Oliver, and she said, Oliver, it's midnight. And they sort of looked at each other strange, you know. And my sister and I both started saying, you know, we're hungry. And so my mom says, you know, that was back before microwave, right? And there was no such thing as microwaves back then. And so she said, well, okay, I'll cook some bacon and eggs. That's quick. So we went in the house, and she fixed some bacon and eggs, and we ate and went on to bed. But it was a very strange incident. Now, I don't have any of the classic symptoms that people talk about, you know, of people that have been abducted by extraterrestrials. None of those symptoms. I have the missing time, that's it. None of the other symptoms that I'm aware of, and have never had them. What about you?
Nothing. Only thing I can think of is, you know, I've always been fascinated with space, the space program and all that. But it wasn't until right about then, you know, a little, you know, I can't exactly tell you when, but that I started getting interested in UFOs and things in the sky. But I've never seen anything, in the, you know, really. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been asked, you know, if maybe that event was the thing that set me on the path that that I took that brought me to this place in my life where I do this show. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I never had a burning desire to investigate UFOs or anything like that. It's something that is sort of a very deep river as opposed to rushing white water.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? It's just something that I'm interested in. And that interest has developed and grown over a number of years, but there's never been that burning passion, that burning desire to know, you know, like Fox Mulder.
Yeah.
No, didn't have it.
No, I don't have anything like that, but it just seems like since then. And then when I think about it, I think about, you know, when I listen to your show or listen to another show or something, see something on TV, I always revert back to that night. I always think about that, you know, just for the fact that you don't know, you know, you don't, you know, what could possibly have happened. You just don't.
So it's no something idea. That you don't think about it all the time. However, there are things that trigger you thinking about it.
Well, lately. Lately, the last few months, I've really been thinking about it. I can't get enough of it. I'm always looking for stuff on the internet now, and, you know.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's, you know, listening to Stanton Friedman has really just changed me. I mean, just the way I think about things, and, you know, he's so trustworthy. He just acts like he knows. You know, I don't know.
Well, I tell you, you know, the guy worked on the development of atomic-powered rocket engines, and, you know, he's been out on the leading edge of space exploration as a physicist, and I think he's got a lot of credibility as a result of that.
I do, too, a lot. And I mean, I can't explain why. But when I do think about it, or if I'm outside and I, you know, happen to look up or something, I think of that.
Yeah.
You know? And I know all about aircraft and all that, and but I don't know. It's just something about that night that from that time on. I mean, it wasn't like the next day, but I've always had this thought. You know, and I was always wondering about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I hear you or hear anybody or the History Channel or something that, you know, which is. Lately, it's been every day I'm looking for something to watch about it or on the internet. But I always think of that. And then you just, from the time I called you a little while ago, I took my dog outside, come back in, you were talking about that time thing, and it right there, you know, it brought mm-hmm. back, and I thought, well, I'm going to call him back.
Well, I'm glad you did. Very interesting story.
Yeah, I got no answers for it, but it's just, it did happen to me.
Yeah. I got no answers for mine either, but that's one of those things I was talking about where, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
All right. It is Open Line Live, and the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. For those of you who are watching our video feed, it's on your screen, and we'll be more than happy to take your calls.
Open Line Live really is about anything strange, unexplained, anything weird, except politics. I find politics way too weird for this show. I think politics is just way too weird for this show, and a little bit boring, too. But anything strange and unexplained, we'll talk about it. What have you had that happen? A time loss, a time slip like that? Now, that's not the first time that I've had that happen. Okay, I told you about one when I was a kid. I told you about one the other night that was just strange. It's not the first time I've had that happen. And I can't specifically remember other incidents, but I can remember there have been other incidents where I've looked at my watch and said, how did 3 hours go by? I haven't been here for 3 hours, or I haven't been traveling for 3 hours. How did that time go by? And I think that probably many of you have had that happen, and some of you may know now where that time went. You may have the answers that the rest of us are looking for. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello there, Kevin.
Hello.
This is Tony Norman.
Yeah, Tony.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Good. I back in the fifth grade, we had a teacher, and he started taking us roller skating the first Wednesday of every month. And then came his birthday, and the whole class chipped in and bought the teacher a pair of roller skates. And he skated all over the school and showed them off. It showed what his class had done for him, and I've been a roller skating nut ever since.
I think that's fabulous. But you know what? These days, in the nutty political correct soup we're living, sewage that we're living in, that teacher would probably be fired.
Probably.
Yeah.
You got a point there. They'd probably think of something to get rid of them.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what happened here. There is a teacher here that used to be, when she was in high school, a cheerleader. And so the school that she teaches at was, they were, I don't know if it was football, I think it was football. Anyway, they had a big game coming up, and she led kind of a cheer in class.
Yeah.
Now, we used to, you know, we used to have pep rallies. Remember those pep rallies? And, and you know, we had it was a big, big day. Friday was a big day because, you know, it was, we had a big game then, you know, on the weekend. And she led a cheer. A student with a cell phone videotaped it without her knowing it, put it on YouTube, and she got fired.
Oh, God. How stupid.
Oh, yeah. Stupidity is eye deep in this country.
Oh, I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
Then I'll drink to anything.
Yeah, and, you know, I was born politically incorrect. I shall die that way. I believe in freedom of speech, and you can't do that and be politically correct.
And get into that thing about your trip back from the roller rink.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what. Sure sounds like you had something happen there. Either it was just some kind of time slip, which I think can happen, or one of you may have gotten taken and the others were switched off.
Could be. I don't know. And, you know, I have talked about that with my family several times over the years. In fact, when I was living in Macedonia, I just was thinking about it so much that I picked up the telephone and called back to the United States and talked with my sister about it just to see if she still remembered, and she did. She knew all the details.
Wow.
So, yeah, and so it's something that I think is significant, but I don't know why it's significant.
and I don't know what caused it, and I don't know what really happened.
I've had weird things going on in my life almost all my life.
Well, are you a weird guy?
I guess you could say that. I've always been like the class clown. I guess I could be labeled as a funny guy. And wherever I go, I like to make people laugh, make people feel good. That I think that's kind of my job in life. And
that's a good thing.
One of the latest things, I have no explanation for it, but...
Well, let me ask you a question before you get into that. Are you having to pay long distance?
No.
You want to hang on through the break?
Why not?
All right, we have a break coming up in 3 seconds, and there it is. So I'll be back with you right after the break. I want to hear this. All right, folks, open line live here at the Kevin Smith Show, 623-581-5148, and we'll be back right after this. I got a flash message that asked, now that we have video, we can't see what you do during the break because, you know, you play those ads. He wanted to know, well, what do you do during the break? This, I go get me some coffee. That's what I do during the break. All right, Tony, you still with me?
No.
All right, you were going to tell us something. You said here lately something weird has been happening.
Well, I just thought of another one. There's either one that may be my only experience with what might be a dimensional slip or a parallel universe type thing, or something that happened when I was about 14 that involved feeling a foot.
Involved what?
A foot.
A foot?
A foot that I felt but could not see.
Yeah, you got to explain that. You lost me.
Okay. I was about 14 years old.
Yeah.
And me and a friend, who I called my cousin, my father and his father were very close friends, so we were like cousins. And he had model cars, I was into model cars, and we were rolling this car back and forth across his living room floor. And I was sitting on the floor with my back against the couch. And the couch had like a little skirt on the bottom that hid the legs. And he rolled the car to me and I missed it and went under the couch. And I lifted up the skirt and saw the car. So I reached my hand in and I'm looking at the car and reaching my hand under to grab the car. And right before the car, there's nothing there, can't see anything. I feel toes, and then I move my hand up, and there's like an instep and an ankle, but there's nothing visible, and the leg, and it's not human. It didn't feel like a human foot.
What did it feel like?
It was coolish and maybe slightly slimy, and maybe rough, not like human skin. And whatever this was would have had to be standing right through the couch. I mean, I have no explanation for it, but it happened. And I just jerked my hand out of there and ran out of the house.
So you didn't see anything at all?
Nothing at all.
Have you had something recently that happened to you like that?
Well, about 4 years ago, I went to a local Walmart.
Yeah?
My local Walmart. Go there every day. And park in the same row every single day. Maybe not in the same spot, but in the same row.
All right.
So I go into Walmart, I come out, I go down the row, and where's my car? I look up and down the row, I can't find my car.
Well, yeah, but now a lot of people lose their car at Walmart or they at the mall.
It was two rows over. And I know I didn't park it there. I know I parked it in the row that I always parked it.
How long were you in Walmart?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 20 minutes.
Well, maybe somebody just took it for a little joy ride and then parked it in the wrong spot.
And that's possible, sure. But why that short of time?
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't like it was a good car. It was a piece of junk. It was a junk box, you know?
Yeah, not something that people would want to steal, huh?
Not at all. You wouldn't even look at it twice.
All right. Well, Tony, I want to thank you for the call. Watch out for those feet. And and again, thank you for the call. Interesting story.
You take care, Kevin.
All right. Telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And the Skype line is open. Now, I've missed two calls on Skype. I told you Friday night, but, you know, I said about Skype that we have to coordinate things between two computers here, and, you know, the Skype thing is not really smooth yet, but we're trying. I'm opening the Skype line tonight because it's open line live, and this is a good chance for me to test the things related to Skype. So if you're outside of the United States, give me a call, and you can Skype in as well. Now, what happens is that whenever we use Skype, it cuts off the volume, remember? So we just have to deal with that. Let's go to the Skype line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Well, let's see. I think I've got it answered. I tried to answer. Are you there? We're not hearing you at all. Well, I guess this is a good time for me to have learned that I don't have Skype worked out yet. So, all I can tell you, I can tell it's Tony from Australia trying to call. Earlier, Mustafa from Sweden tried to call. But I apparently haven't gotten this coordinated yet with all the other software, so let's try it. All right, Tony, are you with us? Man, I cannot hear him. I just don't know. All right. Are you there, Tony?
Yeah, how are you, Kevin?
Oh, outstanding. You know what the deal is? I just figured this out. I need like a light bulb to put above my head now. I just figured this out. When I answer the call, it automatically puts you on hold.
Oh, I see.
That's what happened. And so, you know, I was talking to you, but I couldn't hear you because you were on hold. Could you hear me?
Yes, I could, Kevin. I could hear you. I'm quite loud and clear, actually, mate.
Yeah. It had you on hold. And so, but it did that automatically whenever I answered. So, anyway, Tony, it's good to hear from you again, mate.
Mate, it's good to hear you too. Look, you've been the only thing that's been keeping me sane for the last 3 to 4 weeks, you know.
I've been keeping you really sane. I have two ex-wives that said that I drove them insane.
It's not true, mate.
I didn't think so either.
Now, look, I'd just like to thank you and the entire audience, right down to Andrew, that actually sent you the first email. I'm 100%, oh, not 100%, but I'm about 80% now. You know, I can breathe again. I've still got a long way to go, though, to 100%. But, yeah, look, all I can't say it enough. Thank you so, so much to you and the audience that even the healing power, you know, I could feel it, believe it or not. A lot of people said, oh, you're silly. It didn't happen. It did happen. It certainly did happen. Those thousands of people, when they put their heads together, it does happen. Trust you, me, because I'm here, I'm alive, and I'm doing well.
Well, that is good news to hear, Tony, and it's I think it does happen too. I mean, you know about my incident that I had last year.
Yes.
And you know, I should not have been able to return to work. I should not have been able to return to the microphone as quickly as I did, but I was only down for 4 days. Only gone for 4 days. I wasn't down. I was down for less than 24 hours. And I was back at the microphone within 4 days. And so, wow. Yeah, it does have an effect. It does. By the way, for those of you who are new and don't know, Tony is one of our regular listeners from Australia. And he had a heart attack. And so I announced that and asked all of our audience to... if you pray, then pray for him. If you send healing energy, send healing energy. Whatever it is you do in situations like that, do that for Tony. And you did, and here he is. We're glad he's back.
That's it. Here we are. Yes, and as I said, I can't thank the audience and yourself enough, Kevin. You, a fantastic job. Actually, I have got a little story, too, if you've got a couple of minutes handy.
Yeah, we've got exactly 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll try and make it quick. While I was in hospital, I better start at the beginning. We've got a dam about 32 kilometres from where we are. I don't know what that is in miles, but in K's it's about 32 kilometres. Now, I was second, about the first week in hospital, an old man come in, and he was what you call a bushy. You know, he's been in the bush all his life. He's worked with sheep, cattle, horses, everything. All he does is live in a caravan out the back of this of our Wyangla Dam. Now, it's our main water reservoir. It's about 8.5 kilometres long, and it's about 2.5 times bigger than Sydney Harbour, which I think you should know about, Kevin. You've been there, so you know the extent of the size.
That's right. I have some pictures of that.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Now, he came up to me and he didn't know anything about, well, I'm actually a paranormal investigator. I've been a paranormal investigator for over 30 years. And he just came out of the blue, came up to me and said, you know, these bloody things have been flying over my caravan now and it's scaring the crap out of my wife. And I thought, hey, what? And he goes, things that are about 60 foot in size and dead silent. And this is happening at about 1:30 in the morning, every second or third night of every single week. Now, I just stood there. He doesn't know me from a bar of soap, Kevin. I didn't know him.
This was while you were in the hospital.
And he just blurred all this out. And I thought, okay.
This happened while you were in the hospital?
This
happened while you were in the hospital?
This happened while I was in the hospital. He was actually in my same room. He was there for about 4 or 5 days after I left. Then he went home too. So, yeah, so as soon as I get a little bit better, you know where I'm going.
Yeah. Now, how far out is his place?
It's about, the dam's about 32 k's. This is up the back end of the dam, so I'd make it about 40 kilometres away from us, from Cowra.
You want to hold on through the break?
I certainly can.
Yeah. Okay. All right, folks. We'll be back right after this break. I'm going to get another cup of coffee.
Stay. vicious thoughts pollute my mind. Like a gambler trying to win back all his pride. And the beauty of it all is slipping away. As the of time, I wanted it to be just you and Sunday rain.
All right, we are back, and on hold on our Skype line is Tony from Australia, and I'm going to get back to Tony in just one second. Just hang on a second, Tony, and I'll be right back with you. I put this in our blog. Now, some of you, you know, you don't take time to look at the site and see what all is there. There is a ton of stuff there. But one of the things that's there is the K-Files report. That's my blog. I don't blog every day, but as significant things happen during the week, I do put a notice up, and I put this in the blog, but I need to tell you as well. This past Saturday evening, we were supposed to do the chat, right? And you know I've been installing software and networking computers and getting things working, you know, with the audio and video and all of that together. And I don't know what I did. I did something, and I could not access the members area at all. I couldn't even access the page. Well, that's not true. I accessed the members area, but the chat page, I couldn't even get it to come up. Whenever I would click on it, it would try to open, but I just had a blank screen there, a blank browser, and it never would open, and so I was not able to be in the chat room with you. I did several things, including how you do restore your system. I had to do all of that, and so what we're going to do for you members, we're used to having that monthly chat. I'll be there this Saturday night. We've got that fixed. I'll be there this Saturday night. Some people write to me and say, you have more tech problems than anybody I know. Well, I don't have more tech problems than you would expect, I think, doing all the things that we do. And I do write computer programs, but technology sometimes baffles me. And so, anyway, Saturday night I will be in the chat room. For all of you who are members, join me. We'll have a good time, all right? All right, let's go back to Tony. And, Tony, are you still with me? Oh, he's on hold. Let's see. There we go. Tony, are you still with me?
I certainly am, Kevin.
All right. So you were about to tell us something, but I had to cut us off there.
No, that's all right. No, I pretty much got it out. As I said, as I get a little bit better, I'm going to have to spend quite a few weekends out the back of this, at the back of Wangaroa Dam, and actually have a look for myself. Now, he said it was happening around anywhere from 1:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 a.m. So it's going to be extremely interesting. And he said this has been happening for years. Now, I nearly fell over backwards. I've never heard of it. You know, I've been out there fishing, camping. I've never seen anything, but he was quite adamant and quite stern on the matter. He said, yes, it's happening. And this fellow, look, he hasn't got radio. He hasn't got a TV. He doesn't have newspapers. He doesn't have UFO magazines. He has nothing. He's a true down-on-earth bushy. He works his cattle. He's got horses, and that's all he does. So I don't think he's fabricating it, Kevin. So time will tell, and I can't wait to get out there and have a look for myself.
Well, I want you to keep us posted, and if you can, get some photographs.
I certainly will.
I'll tell you what, if you get some video, do you have a video camera?
Yes, I do. I have a Sony night shot camera for paranormal work, so it'll certainly work on that.
Well, if you get some video and you give us permission to do so, we'll do a show where I'll show your video during the show here.
Mate, that'd be great. It's all about getting the word out. As you always say, and as I always say, you've got to get the word out to the general public. If you don't, they're still going to have their heads stuck in the sand, and they're going to be none the wiser. So,
That's true.
As soon as I get some, Kevin, you'll be the first to know.
And by the way, I don't know, are you aware that we're doing a video feed now?
Oh, I've been watching you, Kevin, and
okay.
I'll tell you what, you got a good head, mate.
Good head. Yeah, it's kind of shiny up there. I had to clear off a spot for more brains, you know. Listen, thanks for the call, man.
Not a problem, buddy. You look after yourself, and I'll talk to you later, Kev.
All right, thanks. Finally figured out how to do that. Let me apologize to Mustafa, who called from Sweden. Mustafa, I didn't know that now it automatically puts you on hold when I answer. Okay, and so I didn't know that. So if you want to call me again, I certainly will be more than happy to take your call. And for those of you who are outside of the United States, you're outside of Canada, or if this would be a long-distance call for you, you can use Skype and just call me on Skype. The Skype address is on your screen now. It is kevin.smith.show, all right? And once I figured out how that software is working now, it worked okay. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right. I told you technology's not my main, it's not my bailiwick. Push the right button and it works. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Tony from Norman again.
Yeah, Tony.
I just wanted to say it's great to hear Tony from Australia again, and glad to hear that he's feeling better. And again, I want to thank everybody for the help and healing that they sent me.
So, all right. It works.
You, Tony.
All right, Tony. Thanks for the call, man.
Take care now.
All right. The telephone number is 623-581-5148. 623-581-5148. And, of course, if it's long distance for you, you dial a 1 before that. And so we've got a lot of different ways that we can get you in here, okay? There's the telephone number. There is the Skype line, and there's the Flash message. You can send me an email. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. One of the things I guess you can tell with now that we have the video feed is that I stay pretty busy with monitoring what's on this screen and on that screen. All right, there's one over there, and there's one right here. And, why don't I put one right here? Well, then it would be where you couldn't see me. And so I do have to monitor what's going on there. One of the things that's going on, I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think one of the things that's going on is that we have a little help behind the scenes. I think that's why I have an echo. You don't hear it, but I hear it. It's been a little bit disconcerting through the show, nothing I can do about it. Well, Open Line Live is always fun because you never, it's kind of like a box of Cracker Jacks. You never really know what the prize is going to be, you know? And it's, you know, you get something new with each and every call. You get a new topic. And that's a good thing. I like that. We have guests for the rest of the week, and you want to be sure and tune in for all of those. George Filer, from some of you are familiar, you get the newsletter, Filer's Files. He's going to be on with us this week. Jerry Wills will be with us tomorrow night. And, you know, Jerry's the one that I said is sort of the, he's kind of one of the modern-day Indiana Jones guys. And he takes these expeditions to some very exotic places. And so he's going to be talking with us about an upcoming expedition he's doing to South America. Some of you are already booked to go with him, and that's a good thing. Some of you, I don't know if he still has any slots open. As I mentioned that, and as we come to the end of the show, let me remind you about our trip together to some of the mystical places in Thailand. And that's coming up later this year. So you need to write to me, you need to email me, let me know that you're interested, and I'll put you on the Thailand mailing list. We'll see if we can't put that together. Hope we get enough people to do it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.